That was called Call Me by Delight. And before that, you heard Down by the Water by PJ Harvey. If you're looking for some more great music, you should definitely tune in to Cold Cuts. Don't worry about what's in it. You know you will enjoy it. Tune in to Cold Cuts Fridays 8 to 9 p.m. only on WRCT Pittsburgh. All right, this next one is called Closing Shot by Lindstrom. Thanks for tuning in.
You're listening to WRCT Feedback Radio.
So as we continue to head to the 2022 midterm elections, we are now under a year away from those midterm elections. I was talking to our YouTube rep yesterday, and he feels, and I agree, that the 2022 midterm season is sort of going to get going in earnest, probably in mid to late March or early April this year. It's going to be quite wild. And I don't know that it's going to be particularly good for Democrats. There's a real possibility, I won't say a probability, but there's a real possibility that Republicans take the House and the Senate and many governorships in November, next November, under a year from now. And one of the things that I want to let you know is that the four-year nightmare of Trump has really changed aspects of our politics in a way that goes beyond Trump, to the degree that Trump is no longer a candidate, but his presidency impacts the people that are candidates. As an example of that, I present to you the reality that many 2022 Republican candidates have been accused of assaulting or threatening to murder people, and that in times past, it would be far less likely that these individuals would continue to be viable candidates for office, but they are today. And I believe to some degree, this is thanks to the coarsening of the discourse and the absolutely absurd way in which Donald Trump's candidacy and ultimately presidency has diminished any serious minimum standard for behavior from candidates for public office. So very good article in Slate about this. Ben Mathis-Lilly writes about it and says things might be different by November of 22. But as it stands right now, Republicans are in a good position to retake Congress. I agree. The incumbent Democratic president's approval rating is low. Off-year elections in swing states are tilting red. Rising costs are forcing certain bloggers, himself included, who don't enjoy macroeconomics, not just to pay more for groceries, but to read articles about economics. The key phrase is conventional indicators. And he points out that things are a lot different in this kind of Trump era, pointing out that in recent days, a right-wing Pennsylvania activist and former Army Ranger, Sean Parnell, who was endorsed by Trump in the state's 2022 Senate primary 2 months ago, is now involved in an ongoing trial in which Parnell's ex-wife testified that he once strangled her and has hit their children. In 2019, Parnell made an appearance on a Fox Nation talk show in which he blamed feminism for creating, quote, women tyrants, and asserted men don't want to put up with the BS of high-maintenance narcissistic women. He has denied allegations of abuse. Similar accusations have been made against three other candidates in potentially competitive 2022 races, either endorsed by Trump or who have a shot, a good chance at earning his support. In Georgia, Trump has endorsed the Senate campaign of former football player Herschel Walker. Walker's ex-wife and one of his ex-girlfriends have both accused him of threatening to kill them, His ex-wife, who received a protective order against him, said he once pointed a gun at her. Walker denies the ex-girlfriend's accusation and says he doesn't remember threatening his now ex-wife. We then go to the Ohio 16th District, currently represented by Republican Anthony Gonzalez, who is not running for re-election. Trump has endorsed a one-time aide of his named Max Miller. Former White House press secretary Stephanie Grisham says Miller pushed her against a wall and slapped her while they were dating during Trump's presidency. Miller denies it. Per the Washington Post, Miller also pleaded no contest to two misdemeanor charges related to an alleged 2007 assault. The charges were later dismissed as part of a program for first-time offenders, and guilty to a disorderly conduct charge related to a fight outside a bar. Okay, so there's Max Miller. Moving on. In Missouri, former Governor Eric Greitens is running for Senate, has appeared with Rudy Giuliani, hired Donald Trump Jr.'s girlfriend Kimberly Guilfoyle as the national chair of his campaign. Greitens resigned as governor in 2018 after a woman who was not his wife said he had slapped her, intimidated her into performing oral sex on him, and taken a nude photo of her without permission that he told her he would release if she spoke about their affair. He denies it, says the affair was consensual. However, an investigative committee of state legislators found the woman's version of events credible. This is, I don't want to say that prior to Trump, these folks definitely would have had their campaigns ended by allegations. And remember, allegations are allegations. In some of these cases, they've been investigated and found credible. In other cases, we have denials, etc. But prior to Trump, many of these folks would never think to even run because of the disadvantage that the allegations would have. Now that Trump has proven that it really doesn't matter to about half of the voters in this country what you're accused of, or in some cases, even what you admit to, the floodgates have been completely and totally opened to any kind of character, no matter how unsuited to public office, no matter how vile the allegations against them. This is an example of a change that may be permanent, thanks to the coarsening of discourse and American politics, thanks to Donald Trump and Trumpism. We will see how these people do. I have for you today one of those stories that, gosh darn it, it's sort of a feel-good story. Somebody did something great and we can be glad about that. But it's something great that was only necessary because of how dystopian circumstances are in the United States. What do I mean? You'll see as soon as I give you the details. Headline: Stacey Abrams, who we like, Stacey Abrams' PAC wipes out $212 million in medical debt for 108,000 people. Wow, what a beautiful thing to do. Newsweek writes, a political organization led by Stacey Abrams has paid off the medical debts owed by 108,000 people in five states. The Fair Fight Political Action Committee donated $1.34 million to the nonprofit organization Rest in Peace Medical Debt to clear debts that carried a face value of $212 million. The state where the most people received the payoffs was Georgia. 69,000 people had medical bills paid. 27,000 Arizonans had their debts paid. 8,000 Louisianans and 2,000 Mississippians and Alabamans have had their debts paid. Abrams says, I know firsthand how medical costs and a broken healthcare system put families further into debt, et cetera, et cetera. What a beautiful thing to do. But this is another one of those feel-good stories, and it is a great thing that Stacey Abrams' PAC did. It's a great thing, unburdening people of medical debt in this way. These are stories that should not exist. Remember that show Breaking Bad, arguably one of the best dramatic television programs in history? I would argue, I would put it up there with any other show. That is a show whose premise wouldn't work in Canada. It wouldn't work in Denmark, right? Teacher gets sick with cancer and starts making and selling meth to pay for his medical treatment. You understand? And then this reminds me, of course, of Little Johnny did a bake sale to raise money for Little Emily's cancer treatment. How lovely. Shouldn't be necessary. Dystopian that it even exists in one of the richest countries in the world. So with all of these stories, I sort of repeat what has been my perspective for a long time. We can find the actions of individuals admirable while finding the circumstances that precipitated them disgusting and immoral. And that's exactly what we have here. You know, you talk to people in other countries, medical debt. What do you mean medical debt? What does that mean exactly? And in many countries, particularly countries that are as rich as ours, medical bankruptcy is not a thing. Medical debt in this way is not a thing. And Stacey Abrams is throwing millions, $1.3 million to pay off what was $212 million of face value of medical expenditures for over 100,000 different people. She's great. What was done is fantastic, shouldn't be necessary, and just another signal about how broken many of our systems are at this point in time. I would love to hear from you about it. If your perspective is different, let me know. But admirable individual actions based on completely horrifying circumstances beyond Stacey Abrams' control. Stacey Abrams is working within the system to try to improve circumstances for different people. Okay, next week, I want to let everybody know we are going to be on alert for the verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The case is going to the jury. We've been covering it for a while. I just want to let everybody know it's conceivable, because sometimes you only get an hour to 90 minutes notice that the verdict has been reached. My intention is to cover that live. We've been covering the trial daily since the start, and I really want to make every effort to kind of complete that. Depending on when it happens, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we don't know how long the jury is going to deliberate. It could be 2 weeks. We just have no idea. It may throw off when some of the shows over the next couple of weeks are published. So I'm just asking for you, from you, for a little bit of latitude as far as that goes going forward. In terms of the schedule upcoming, we're going to be here all of next week. The following week, it's Thanksgiving week here in the United States. We will only be doing a Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday show. We'll run repeats on Thursday and Friday, but we will be doing a short week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then we'll be back with everything else normal, etc. One other programming note. We don't usually promote interviews ahead of time because it happens maybe one out of 20, one out of 18 guests bails at the last second. And that's why we often don't promote interviews in advance. Dozens and dozens of you have said, please talk to Andrew Yang about his third party. We are going to be we're recording the interview with Andrew Yang in the next week, but it is scheduled to air on November 23rd. Okay, so the second to last show before Thanksgiving, we are planning to have a wide ranging interview with Andrew Yang. We will talk about the forward party. We will talk about a lot of different things. If you have things you want me to ask Andrew Yang about, you can email info@davidpakman.com and let me know. So with that, we'll take a quick break. Let me know your thoughts, where you are on the Rittenhouse trial. You can find me on Twitter @dpakman. And we're going to be back with your calls. I'm going to go over your emails. We've got a lot of other things to discuss on this tremendous Friday show. Remember that the David Pakman Show is primarily sponsored by folks who sign up on my website, joinpakman.com. Would love for you to grab a membership. We do an extra show every day for those very folks, and would love to talk to many of you on the bonus show comments as well. So sign up at joinpakman.com. Let's go to the phone lines. We do that via Discord at davidpakman.com/discord. I want to start today. Let's go to Andy from Eastern Iowa. Andy, you're on the air. What's on your mind, my friend?
Hi, do I sound okay?
Andy, you sound absolutely perfect.
Awesome. Got a real quick one for you. Sure. What do you think is the first like steps for younger people getting into politics to kind of get more involved?
Even before maybe they're old enough to actually run for something, you mean?
Yes.
Get involved in a campaign. And when I say a campaign, it doesn't have to be a candidate campaign. It could even be an issue-based campaign. It could be maybe the city council where you are wants to bring municipal broadband. Get involved in advocating for that. If it's going to be a voter initiative, a ballot initiative, or whatever, just get involved in something. You can help on campaigns. In most places, there's no age limit. Find something you care about. Maybe it's a candidate. Maybe it's an issue. And just jump in and get involved.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
My pleasure. All right. Andy from Eastern Iowa. Very much appreciate that. Let's go next. All right. I mean, maybe against my better judgment, I'm curious what he has to say. Let's go to Jimmy from Philly. Jimmy, you are on the air.
Hey, David. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jimmy.
So, David, I just wanted to say that listening to that prosecutor kind of reminded me of when I talked to you.
I'm sorry. What are you talking about, Jimmy?
So listening to the prosecutor in the Kyle case.
Oh, Kyle Rittenhouse.
Reminds me. What other Kyle is there, David? My God, you've been doing this for 8 hours. you're good at throwing me for a loop, David. Listening to that prosecutor reminds me of speaking to you, because he was trying to trap Kyle into saying different things, which is the same thing you do with me. And at the end of the day, when I don't say it, you just lie and say that I said it.
I thought you were going to say that the prosecutor reminded me of me because of his incredible poise, preparation, and how articulate he was.
Well, how about when he basically disregarded the judge's orders many times, which then pissed off the judge?
Yeah.
And most of your chat thinks that he's biased towards Kyle. No, he purposely pissed off the judge And then you got a reaction from the judge. I mean, it's very clear. I mean, he's disregarded the judge's orders numerous times. You can't do that in a courtroom. I'm surprised he didn't hold him in contempt.
Well, Jimmy, I really appreciate your legal insights. What do you expect in terms of the verdict?
Well, I tend to agree with you. I think that I don't think that he will be found guilty of murder, but at one gun charge, maybe he gets found guilty on that. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think the kid goes to prison. Clearly, the judge ain't going to hurt him.
Right. So, what's going on at your place, Jimmy? It sounds wild. There's chimes and different elements.
What's that?
What's happening at your place? It sounds crazy today.
Hold on.
Sure.
Somebody's trolling me, David. Give me a second.
Oh, my pleasure. Things happening in real time.
I don't understand why this is happening.
Mm. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy,
it's
what's...
music. I don't know why. I don't know why this is happening.
Okay. What's for dinner tonight, Jimmy?
Well, I just ordered a... what would you call it? Chicken Caesar salad.
Oh, okay. Do you like it with the anchovies or without?
No, anchovies, no. I ordered tomatoes with it. David, for the life of me, I cannot understand why this is going on.
You mean why people eat fish or what? What do you mean?
I don't know why music.
Okay. All right, Jimmy, thank you. Hey, Jimmy, I do want to move on, but it's always a pleasure speaking with you.
I'm sorry, David. Jesus.
Okay. All right, there's Jimmy from Philly delivering absolutely critical and incisive legal opinion on the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Let's go next to, I'd like to speak to Lynn in California. Lynn, how are you today?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
First, I want to thank you for being a calm and informative source of progressive news.
Well, thank you.
And I've been watching the Rittenhouse trial, and you've made it clear what your opinion is. I'm wondering if there's any testimony that would change that.
You mean, is there testimony that would make me think that a guilty for homicide is coming?
Yes.
You know, what's really, really tough about an affirmative defense like self-defense is that you're not denying that he did the thing. You're basically saying his state of mind was that he thought he might be killed. And with a standard of beyond a reasonable doubt, it's unless the circumstances were different, I find it very hard for the prosecution to prove a negative that at no time did Kyle fear for his life. So I don't really think it's about testimony. I think it's about the circumstances and the facts.
Yeah, I agree. As much as I would like to see him found guilty, I can definitely see how a juror would perceive there was reasonable doubt as well.
Yeah, and the thing about I would like to see him be guilty. I think that he's guilty of a lot of things that aren't crimes. Like, for example, it's an example of disastrous parenting where a 17-year-old even thinks that this is something that you would do. I think it's an example of our disastrous and toxic gun culture in the United States, militia ideology, vigilantism. It's all of these different things. For what he's charged with, and we have to see what the jury instructions are, it doesn't seem that guilty would be in line with the case that the defense will reasonably make about self-defense. That's my take.
Agree. And yeah. The only thing he said he knows about AR-15s are they make him look cool. He doesn't know the damage they do or the ammunition that's used.
Which he may have been lying about, quite frankly. I think that was part of making... you know, stepping away from being very aware of exactly what the gun would do. I think that was he feigned ignorance on that. But still, you know, it's crazy. It's all crazy.
OK, thank you. And I agree with your girlfriend. The mustache should really go.
Oh, wow. Well, it may go soon. It may go soon.
OK, thank you.
All right. There's Lynn from California. Very much appreciate that call. Let's go. Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's just so many people here. Let's go to Ohio. What about Maria in Columbus, Ohio? Maria, you're on the air. Simply unmute and we'll be able to chat. And Maria from Ohio, last chance to unmute yourself so that we can talk. Well, that's too bad. I was looking forward to speaking with Maria. Let's try instead. Why don't we go to Steve from Illinois? Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Good. I was wondering what you thought. I mean, I know that you probably agree with the mandate, but I was wondering what you thought of the Biden administration still telling companies to follow their vaccine mandate, even though it's getting held up in the courts right now. Don't you kind of find that wrong in a sense, if the courts are kind of holding up and the Biden administration telling companies to not follow what the courts are saying?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. That requirement, call it a protocol or mandate, whatever you want to call it, I don't believe it goes into effect for several more weeks, right? So I think my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is that the Biden administration is saying, plan on this being something that will be in place. I understand that right now it's being frozen, but it hasn't actually gone into effect yet, has it?
No, the mandate hasn't come into effect, but I guess like the fact that like it's getting held up right now, and then I guess them saying continue going on so that planning on it to come into effect. Do you think that the Biden administration thinks that they get through the courts then, or do you,
I think it will be okay. Through the courts. I think it's reason. I mean, Ronald Klain said on NBC, I think it was over the weekend, we believe ultimately this is going to be upheld. You know, the New Orleans Circuit Appeals Court there is very conservative. This is unlikely to be a decision that stays. We'll know soon. I don't think the Biden administration is doing anything wrong by saying we believe this ultimately will be enforced. Yeah.
All right. I see your point. When I was looking at it, I guess in my mind, it came off more of keep doing it, even though it's getting held up, rather than it looks like it's going to be go through on that end.
Well, certainly keep vaccinating is something continue vaccinating employees makes perfect sense.
Vaccination point on there. I guess I was misreading. I guess you explained it very well, like the situation was going on. I guess when I was looking into it, it kind of came off in a different way on that tone.
Fair enough. All right. I appreciate the call, Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's Steve from Illinois. Very powerful call. Let's go next to Tina from Asheville, North Carolina. Tina, how are you?
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Now, Tina, if we're going to talk, you've got to turn off that notification noise because it is just it's going to destroy any ability you and I have to communicate. So you got to turn off notifications in Discord. Tina.
Can you hear me now, David?
I can still hear you, but those are still continuing to bling. If you can turn off notifications, that would be great.
Oh, gosh, I don't know how to do that. That's my first time on Discord. Oh, dear.
Okay.
It's still blinking?
It hasn't for now.
Okay. Okay. I think it was me because I didn't know if I was muting or unmuting.
Okay.
Okay. Long time subscriber, first time callers. Thank you for picking on me. And I just actually wanted to ask you about how to speak about Hispanic people. And I just wanted to know like what the difference is between like Latin, like if you're talking about Hispanic people in this country, do you refer to them as Latino or is Hispanic okay? I mean, I know you're Argentinian, so I'm just wondering like which one is more acceptable.
Listen, there are people who feel very, very strongly about this, and they say the right word is Hispanic but not Latino. The right word is Latino but not Hispanic. Yeah. There are people who say that these words have different definitions. Like, for example, Hispanic would include Spain, but not Brazil, whereas Latino would include all of Latin America, but not Spain, with Brazil maybe being part of it or maybe not. And there's a couple other countries in South America that you could argue culturally are not a part of Latin America. I am not like a big I don't find either word offensive. I understand that the words may have slightly different meanings, but if we're all trying to communicate in good faith, I know what someone means when they refer to Latino folks and Hispanic folks, and I use both terms sometimes. So I'm not like a big stickler, but there's different elements of academia that would have particular points of view. And, you know, you ask someone else, you'll get a different answer, Tina. That's the truth.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much, David.
My pleasure. There's Tina from Asheville, North Carolina, with a number of different technical aspects of the call that dramatically improved as we went. Let's go next to DB from Virginia. Am I pronouncing that right? DB? Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. So I'm watching the case. It looks like.
Okay, you're cutting out, DB. So you said you're watching the case and it looks like, and then you cut out right when you were saying what it looks like.
It's about 50-50 to me.
50-50 in terms of all the charges or on the homicide?
Like, yeah, all the charges pretty much.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. I mean, how is the prosecution going to eliminate from the jury's belief that Rittenhouse really feared for his life? How are they going to prove to the jury
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But then again, it's like, he pointed the gun at him. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, this is the United States. You know what I'm saying? So
well,
like,
but hold on a second. Hold on a second, DB. Wait a second. Whoa. Rosenbaum didn't have a gun, right? Rosenbaum didn't point a gun at Kyle Rittenhouse. The argument that Rittenhouse makes is that after the first shot, Rosenbaum attempted to grab the gun. We're already kind of in the weeds, but I still see it as a big hill to overcome to say he didn't fear for his life.
But yeah, this judge is crazy, man.
The judge is definitely crazy. The judge is out there. Yeah. I mean, listen, but I know like, that earlier Jimmy from Philly said the judge is actually trying to help the prosecution. I don't see that at all. I see the judge interrupting on the day of the Rittenhouse testimony 5 or 6 times at key moments where Rittenhouse was sort of falling apart. I see the decisions mostly favoring the defense. I see the judge more of as an asset to the defense.
Yeah, so it's like, and another thing, small thing, outside of this, Joe Biden, man, I feel sorry. Like, passed this year, man, I live in Virginia.
Yeah.
Slaughtered, bloodbath.
Oh, yeah.
It was no signs, bruh. It was bad.
Wait, but you're saying for the Youngkin McAuliffe race, right?
Yes, man. I was like, yo, nobody voted that I knew, you know, nobody voted.
Low turnout.
In this election.
Yeah. So, well, it's Virginia's going to be a real question mark for Democrats in the next couple of years. I think that's clear.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
All right, my friend, thank you for the call. Yeah, no, I think about it. I'm going to let you go because I have so many people holding. Great to speak to you. I do really appreciate it. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to be right back at it and take some more phone calls in a moment. Let's hear from a few more people in the audience. We're doing it via Discord. DavidPakman.com/Discord is the place to find the mechanism for phone calls. Let's go to, let's try Maria from Columbus says that she's ready. Maria, you're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, Maria. What was happening before?
I have no idea. I have Discord open on my laptop and now I'm on my phone. So
got it.
Don't know what that's about. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad you were able to make it on.
Yeah, me too. I'm really sorry about your Twitch ban. It's a pretty bullshit, in my opinion.
Yes, please don't swear. Remember, this goes on the radio. Oh, so every time you I'm swear, so we've got to bleep that. Pat, please make a note. We're going to bleep Maria. Yes, the Twitch ban is a disappointment for sure.
Yeah. So I appreciate you covering the trial, though. It's hard to talk with anyone else about it. Everyone else seems very annoyed about the whole thing. I am as well. I'm very frustrated. The judge is insane.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort of be as least hyperbolic as possible about the judge.
But in particular,
when he completely fell for this entire objection from the defense that zooming in a picture is in some way equivalent to algorithmically creating 3D images from a still image, and the judge was sort of like, I don't know what they're doing. Yeah, but it was just humiliating. It's just like he's completely not understanding what's going on.
Yep, I feel like he should have some sort of education on what he's judging about technology-wise there. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And the burden of proof were just the mere bogus objection from Kyle Rittenhouse's attorney led the judge to say to the prosecution, you're going to have to like bring in a witness and prove that this stuff it hasn't been altered. It's like, wait a second. There's been no serious allegation that it has. It's just some vague idea that Rittenhouse's attorney had. It was all bizarre.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think will be the verdict, though?
Realistically,
yeah,
I think he's gonna get away without any issue, yeah, which I wish was not the case, but you know, I don't think from how it's going, I don't think he's gonna get any sort of punishment. Yeah.
Here's my real issue. I've said I think self-defense is plausible in the homicide charges, particularly with Anthony Huber. I think it's totally plausible. The sick thing is that this kid is already a product of the disgusting gun culture of the United States, and his acquittal is going to fire up the militia and gun people even more. He'll be seen as a hero. He'll be invited to sign headshots and speak at gun conventions and whatnot, when this is actually a tragedy, what took place. That's really my concern here.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, from the standpoint of third vaccinations, have you gotten yours yet?
I'm going very, very soon. I've got an appointment actually, in the next day or so. And I will report my symptoms, but yes, I'm getting my third dose very soon.
That's great. I received mine on Friday, and I am happy to report that I am now magnetic. I wasn't after the second dose, but now I am.
You mean literally magnetic, or you just now have a magnetic personality?
Just quite literally magnetic.
Oh,
there's
wow.
There's a lot of metal on me right now. That's crazy. It might be why my laptop wasn't working, actually. I'm not sure.
I think that explains why we weren't able to hear you earlier, actually.
Yeah.
All right, Maria. And by the way, that's a joke, Maria. We're all kidding. We're all kidding around.
I am kidding.
Yeah. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
All right. There's Maria from Columbus, Ohio. Pretty damn close to a perfect phone call, I would say. Let's go next to Steph from Glasgow.
Oh, wow.
Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted to say, as a person not from America.
Really? I couldn't tell from your accent. I thought you were from Texas.
Did you not? Oh, wow. Well, I just find the whole gun culture thing insane.
Yeah.
It baffles me. And I've actually just been saying to myself earlier, like, if you were claiming self-defense, would you not have, like, here, you would just kick the person and make them leave you alone? Like, what's the automatic reaction to, like, point a gun and shoot somebody? That baffles me.
This is exactly what I'm talking about when I'm saying, you know, we're looking at these videos of 20 people walking around with long guns and all of this insanity, and we're trying to focus in on this narrow question of, like, was Rittenhouse justified in shooting the people that he shot? Much of the world is having exactly your reaction, which is, how is even the context remotely considered acceptable in any way at all, that this is even a thing that happens?
It's just a totally different culture, and it's scary because he's just a kid as well.
Are people in Scotland talking about this case at all?
Not from what I've seen, nothing on the news about it, really.
Okay.
And nobody that I talk to really has mentioned it either. So I don't think it's that big a thing, to be honest. But I follow American politics more than people that I know. So, and like American crime and stuff. So, most people aren't really listening, interested in it, to be honest.
Got it.
Got it.
Hey, quick question. Are you familiar with now I don't even remember what they're called. What do you guys call sodas? You call them fizzy something?
I would say fizzy juice.
Fizzy juice. Are you saying fizzy or fuzzy?
Fizzy. F-I-Z-Z-Y.
Oh, F-I. Oh, fizzy juice. Yeah. Got it. Okay. And so is Sprite a fizzy juice? What is it? It's a type of fizzy juice?
Yeah. I got Sprite's it. Fizzy juice.
Got
but
it.
Like, we would also use just like names. Like, I would just say, oh, I want like Diet Coke or whatever. So we just use a name. But fizzy juice is like an umbrella term.
It's your category. Like, it's a category. Call. Like, some people would say this is soda. This is pop. Something. This is a fizzy juice.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, fizzy juice.
Got it. Okay, well, you really said it all. I can't think of anything else to mention at this point.
And thank you for taking my call. I'm like so nervous. I don't know if you can tell.
I can't tell at all. You did great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for the call.
No worries.
All right. There we go. Steph from Glasgow. Very, very powerful testimony. Let's go next to Isaiah from Arkadelphia. Isaiah, you're on the air. Isaiah from Arkadelphia, you're on the air. You're completely digitally modulated. I couldn't understand a word of that.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Now, let me ask, are you a robot or is that just a voice distortion?
No, I'm not changing my voice.
You're not a robot. Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, dear God. All right. Unfortunately, I am going to have to let you go. Nobody can hear what's going on there. It was interesting, but nobody could hear it. Let's try Amir from Washington, D.C. Amir, it is your turn. Oh, God. My God, that is just now I'm wondering if it's potentially on my end. Let's try Bryce from Denver. Bryce, please rescue us. Wow. How could that possibly be on my end? I don't even know what that could be. And people in the chat say that he's clear. So it's clearly on my end. Wow. All right. Well, listen, it's on my end, but I still can't understand a word anybody's saying. Let me very quickly try to disconnect and then reconnect. Let's just try again. I'm going to go back to Amir from DC. Let's see if that fixed it. Right. Yeah, no, it's if people could hear what I'm hearing. Well, listen, I think we're just going to have to let me try one more just to see. It may be on maybe it is on my end. Let's try Drew from Fort Lauderdale. Drew, you're on the air.
David, sir.
Oh, you're perfectly clear.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, great.
What's going on?
If Rittenhouse is found not guilty on all murder charges.
Yes.
What do you think the potential backlash or reaction to the public will be?
I want to be really careful because I don't want to encourage any violence. But I think there is a possibility of violence after the verdict, no matter what the verdict is.
Yes. I mean, I think regardless of what happens, it will only further divide and agitate us as a country. I mean,
I worry that that's the case. I worry that that's the case, and I hope that that doesn't happen.
The other thing I worry about is I believe Rittenhouse is going to be the next MAGA senator.
Right. Yeah, no. I think
whatever state he ends up in.
This guy is going to be lionized and made a hero. If he's found guilty, he will be made a martyr. The right is just foaming for a sort of a Zimmerman-like character. And I think, to be perfectly frank, I think Rittenhouse is more sympathetic than Zimmerman was.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, is the judge's last name Schroeder?
Yes.
Is that any relation to Ricky Schroeder?
I have no idea who that is.
Ricky Schroeder is the Silver Spoons kid, the actor who was helping Rittenhouse immediately after this all happened.
Oh, I wasn't paying much attention at that time. That's interesting. I can't imagine there's a relation.
I thought that was strange.
It is, but maybe, yes, I don't know anything about it.
Thank you for the time, sir.
Pleasure. Appreciate the call very, very much. Let's see if we can continue. I guess the audio issue really didn't seem to be on my end. which is good news, generally speaking, but sometimes it still upsets people. Let's go to Sabrina. Sabrina, you're on the air.
Hi, David. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. I don't really have a question. I was just reflecting on this whole Rittenhouse trial, and
yeah.
I feel where you're coming from. I feel like he's a huge victim of the whole gun culture, wrong parenting, and God knows what else. I just really feel for him because he is still a minor.
Well, he isn't anymore, but he was at the time of the incident.
Yeah, but I just wish we were doing more as a country to sort of address the sort of psychological impact this has on our children. You know, Kyle was only 17 at the time, and I know what happened was tragic, but it's really just heartbreaking to see him waste his life and to see the aftermath of this trial, whatever the verdict is.
Well, you know, his life may not be wasted. I mean, he may be found not guilty and then get speaking gigs and become sort of like a hero of some kind. It remains to be seen what the trajectory is. He'll have killed people. He can't undo that. But, you know, I let's wait. Is it raining where you are?
No.
It's not.
Okay. I have background fan noise, so it's probably that.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Yeah. Very good, Sabrina. Thank you. I appreciate the call. We're going to watch the verdict very closely. All right. There's Sabrina. I appreciate everybody who called in. That's going to do it for calls today. But I do hope to take calls again sooner than you might imagine. All right, everybody, let's get into the Friday mailbag. You can email info@davidpakman.com. The emails will be reviewed. They will be screened. We're going to do a lot. We'll check them for bamboo fibers, the way that it was done in Arizona. Everything will be done. It's crazy what we do to these emails. And then I will read a few to you and respond. We have wacky ones. We have productive ones. We have substantive. We have people who are just angry with me. We have all of it. All right. So let's just jump right into it. First one comes today from Rick, who says about the Trump conviction. Rick says, "Hi, David. I'm wondering why lots of people are demanding a Trump criminal conviction. Nobody talking about something that seems obvious to me. Any jury is statistically bound to have at least one Trump supporter in it, if not more. One is all you need for a hung jury. So it's all for nothing. He would never be convicted of anything in a jury trial. What is your take, Richard in California?" Yes, I have said before, not only is there a political question here, not only is there a question of there's so many different issues with the idea of a Trump trial, a Trump criminal trial. But how do you even get a fair jury? And we've been talking about last week, this week, in the context of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. And I told my story from my jury duty experience on something very minor compared to this, about how hard it is to get competent juries, even for minor things. I don't know how you get a jury to truly do what they are supposed to do when it comes to a criminal trial with someone like Donald Trump. But I think it's a merely academic question. As I've said before, I just don't think it's going to happen. And I know people get mad and say, "David, you're making it less likely that there will be a conviction when you say that." No, I don't think that that's the case at all. That they're less likely there will even be charges. I just don't think it's going to happen. All right. Next one is from Ren. Ren says, "I have jumped ship. Pakman's MSM mean, I guess that they mean Pakman's mainstream media narrative stance on BS vaccines has put me totally off." Well, to you, I say, good sir, bye-bye. If you don't want to watch this show or listen to this show because of my view on vaccination, we probably weren't meant for each other. This was probably a relationship that, you know, let's go with it's not you, it's me. It's not, let's go with that. Also, another love letter. This one's more insidious. This one's from Alex. Alex says, "Why won't you address Jewish supremacy?" I saw the title. I said, uh-oh. Alex writes, this is really ugly stuff, by the way. You may want to get the kids out of the room. Alex writes, "You want to call out white supremacy? Fine, do it. But what about Jewish supremacy? Is it because you are Jewish and a supporter? I am not anti-Semitic at all. But if you seriously think we're not onto what's really going on here, and who's really in charge of this globalist plot, then you're wildly mistaken. At least Trump tried to fight these globalist, internationalist. I should actually be using the Alex Jones globalist, internationalist, Trotskyite socialists, unlike Obama, Trudeau, Macron, and the rest of these Zio beasts. This is anti-Semitic. This is anti-Semitic. And as I've told you before, I mean, listen, at this point, I've explained this six ways from Sunday, folks. COVID conspiracies are drenched in anti-Semitism. The whole concept of one world or shadow government, that there's a real government, it's drenched in anti-Semitism. It's just slathered. It's bathed. It's sous-vided in anti-Semitism. This is a perfect example. And I don't know if saying I'm not anti-Semitic, but is even part of the insanity here. But that's a very, very sick person. But sadly, many people hear that and they go, that person's not sick. That's their politics. And I agree with them. And that's, it's a very, very scary thing. Paul wrote in. Paul says, David, is there anything stopping President Biden from using an executive order to eliminate the Electoral College? It hasn't been needed since the invention of the telegraph back in 1861. Why do we still use it? Allow our president to be elected by popular vote, by the people, period. Stop wasting taxpayers' money on gerrymandering. I'm looking forward to your response, Paul. Well, so remember, gerrymandering is congressional districts within states. Usually when we talk about the effect of the Electoral College on presidential, we don't use the term gerrymandering. But I agree with the sentiment completely. The Electoral College should go. I've explained why time after time after time. However, there is something stopping Joe Biden from eliminating it by executive order, which is that you need, I'm going by memory here, to get rid of the Electoral College, you need, I believe it is, 3/4 of the states to do a constitutional convention. Now, is it and or 2/3 of the House and Senate? Listen, Biden can't do it by himself is the point. That being said, the most direct path to eliminating the popular vote is something called the NPVIC, the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. And this doesn't require anything done federally. It only requires states to pledge, instead of giving our electoral votes to whoever wins our state, we will give our electoral votes to whoever wins the national popular vote. So for example, Oklahoma could say, no matter how Oklahoma voters vote, if the Democratic candidate wins the popular vote, we give our votes to that candidate. If the Republican candidate wins the national popular vote, we will give our votes to that candidate. Every state has the right to decide how they will give how they will apportion electoral votes. And once you get enough states in total whose electoral votes combine to be at least 270, you have effectively eliminated the Electoral College. Okay. I don't know that that's going to happen. All right. Here's one. I have to admit, this is one of the strangest emails I've ever gotten. This is someone who is furious that I mentioned that we post content to Instagram. Jeff wrote to me, too much, David. Too much, David. Dear David, you're my favorite political show on YouTube. But if you think I'm going to spend my time going from YouTube to Instagram to TikTok or whatever other social media, you're seriously mistaken, young man. Okay, he didn't use young man, but it felt appropriate. You're a political commentator, not my life. It's like you got stock in Instagram. You want to drag people to it for the hell of it. And I would bet that a lot of your viewers feel the same way I do. I'll see what you post to YouTube, but as for the rest, I'm fine with missing it. Jeff, I love it. I love it. No one has ever, it's just, I sometimes offhandedly say, hey, we're also posting stuff to Instagram. Check it out if you want. If you don't, by no means. Jeff, I love that you, I'm turning this around to make it a positive thing. You are putting a limit on how much time you're going to spend consuming stuff on social media. I think it's fantastic. These platforms are habit forming. These platforms can suck you in. I love what you're doing, Jeff. You know what? You tell me where your line is, my friend. And it sounds like for you, it's YouTube. I love it. All full power to you. Lawrence wrote to me and Lawrence said, obviously, the election in Virginia was rigged. And this was I know who Lawrence is, and this is satire. And Lawrence is astutely pointing out, Republicans, the new thing is if you lose, you say it was rigged. They said, many of them, even before the Virginia election, Democrats are already trying to rig it. There was some state senator. We looked at the clip last week. We looked at it again on Monday. State senator who said they're already rigging it. Here's how they're doing it. Glenn Youngkin won last Tuesday. They never mentioned anything about fraud or any rigging ever again. And why is that? Because it's not really about rigging. It's about if we win, it's not rigged. And if we lose, it is rigged. That's fundamentally the only thing that it's about. And Lawrence is 110% correct. Let's go to our next voicemail. It's from Barbara. Barbara responded to the not good results in New Jersey and Virginia and in general last Tuesday for Democrats by saying, David, if Democrats don't wake up about wokeness, we will continue to lose more. Please read Woke Racism by John McWhorter. McAuliffe was a disaster when he did not support parents. The school anger will only grow if Democrats don't wake up about messaging. You know, what's funny about this is McAuliffe really wasn't a wokester candidate. And unfortunately, Barb, I hope I can call you Barb. One of the saddest parts of this election is Youngkin won with lies about critical race theory. Critical race theory is a framework typically taught or utilized in college, in law school, etc. It's not taught. Now, the counterpoint that people are now coming up with is, well, listen, it doesn't matter if you teach critical race theory. If teachers are if it's the worldview of a teacher, even if they're just teaching geography, it's still going to destroy our kids. Different argument. And you got to prove that. You got to prove that because critical race theory is just not being taught to kids in Virginia. And so, unfortunately, I am not a wokester myself, and I've been critical of elements of the left. I think this is a little off here, Barbara, unfortunately. Drew wrote in with a comment on last week's show and said, David, you mentioned New Jersey being a bad sign because of the gap. What I meant by that was the last New Jersey gubernatorial was like a massive win for the Democrat, and this was like barely a win for the Democrat. Drew says it's not necessarily a bad sign because New Jersey voter participation is very low in these elections, and the Democrats have not held the gubernatorial seat in two elections since 1976. So in my book, this is actually a win for Democrats because we broke a multi-decade trend. Yes, as I mentioned, you can always find some way to characterize a situation where it's less bad. I think this is the best, the most optimistic interpretation, which is typically after Democrats win, they then lose. They straight up lose. So rather than seeing it as, oh, man, Democrats won by a lot and now they barely won, we should see it as Democrats won. Normally they would lose if you go back to 1976, and Democrats won again. So that is valid. That is valid. And at a certain point, it sort of starts to get into the level of, you guys have seen these. If any of you watch sports, you know that technology and statistics and machine learning and all these different things have made it so that in almost any situation, you can create a statistic that seems meaningful in sports. Like, for example, for games played by Leo Messi in the Southern Hemisphere between December and March, when his team is leading going into the second half, he scores a goal 50% of the time. And then we would be, our heads are spinning and we're saying, but that, wow, that's really interesting. But is that at all relevant? I'm not even really sure. And then you can come up with, that sounds pretty good. He's probably going to score a goal. And you can say, you know, for night games played in Latin America, he very rarely scores goals in the second half when his team is winning. You see the point. We can interpret these things and we have to find meaning in the statistics. We have to find meaning in the statistics. And ultimately, the results in 2022 are going to tell us exactly how disastrous or not last week's elections were for Democrats across the country. I hope that you will get instant access to today's bonus show by signing up on my website. You can go to joinpacman.com. We really do depend on your support. We have a staff here. We have all of these different expenses. We do healthcare. We do retirement. We do all these different things. And I am able to be a better employer in great part thanks to people who value and support the work that we do. So grab a subscription at joinpacman.com, and we will see you in mere moments.
Yeah, yeah. What's up? This is Total Eclipse.
Word up, Rock Raider from Executioners.
Word up, chilling,
On WRCT, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah, 88.3.
Check it out, all right?
Word up. Real hip hop.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You don't even know it's the hip hop show.
Oh, we do. We do everything.
Okay. Yo, there's only 6 degrees of separation, and we know 5 people you know. How much longer did you really think you could avoid strict flow? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. Like this!
WRCT, this is the place that sets the pace for Pittsburgh.
It's Hovland, you're listening to 88.3 WRCT FM. Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Listening to WRCT Pittsburgh's Radio Automation. Please stay tuned for more incredible tracks from our extensive, vast, libidinous, and...
balls.
Awesome. I called it libidinous. It doesn't make any... I mean...
WRCT Pittsburgh. Automation is the key. I am Dr. Jazz P.
This is Ziggy Marley, and you're listening to WRCT in Pittsburgh, you know? Go Steelers.
We'll give you total control over our lives. Everyone shuts the hell up.
We're Hydra! WRCT! Pittsburgh!
You're listening to WRCT, friends of the FCC. Good friends, good times, and eggnog.
WRCT Pittsburgh. We love monkeys.
Sure.
All right. Yeah.
Are we still taping?
Yeah. Sure. Go right ahead.
We're live. We're not taping.
Oh, we're live.
No,
okay.
We're taping.
We're taping. Okay. They want me to do a little promo. And what do I do? I say, WRCT. Is that it?
WRCT Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Hello and speedy delivery. This is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and I'm in Pittsburgh. I always listen to WRCT right here in Pittsburgh. Speedy delivery to you.
Top Dog in Pittsburgh, WRCT.
Hey, this is Marlon Saunders, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Hello, this is Adam Clayton here, the bass player from U2. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
This is Brad Yoder, and you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
Hello, I'm Meg Lee Chin, and when I'm in town, I like to listen to WRCT 88.3 FM.
WRCT is the best place to be. He sends the music out your way 40 hours every day.
This is Danny Glover, and you're listening to 88.3 FM WRCT Pittsburgh.
Hey, this is Steve Archer.
And Donna Lynch.
From Ego Likeness, you're listening to WRCT Radio.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Meaty and full of flavor since 1940.
It's been a long time since you've touched the hand and the heart of that special someone. You're not alone. This is WRCT Pittsburgh's Radio Automation Service. Stay tuned for more tracks from our radio and record library.
Hi, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, home of... Oh, crap. We're not really home of anything, are we?
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
Hey, we're the 1985, and whenever we're in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we like to pick up 13-year-old runaways at the Greyhound station and listen to WRCT! Woo!
Hi, we are Microwaves. Reminding you that the most important things in life are to
to crush your enemies,
to see them driven before you,
and to hear the lamentations of their women while listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
It's immoral for the rich to talk about their future children and grandchildren when the children of the Global South are dying now. We needed concrete solidarity and cooperation. The rich offered more empty words. You're not keeping 1.5 alive. You're setting us on a pathway to 2.5 degrees. You're setting the planet on fire and claiming to act.
The UN climate summit in Glasgow has ended with almost 200 nations supporting a watered-down pact that many say fails to address the climate emergency. Summit organizers are blaming India and China. But what role did the United States play behind the scenes? We'll get the latest and speak with an indigenous leader from the Ecuadorian Amazon who attended Glasgow.
The Sacred Headwaters Initiative is proposing a permanent protection of the Sacred Headwaters region. We have said no more oil drilling. Leave fossil fuels in the ground. No more mining. We don't want more logging. We don't want more extraction. This is basically a call for humanity to stop the destruction and permanently protect this important area.
Plus, we'll speak with the Reverend William Barber about the trial of three white men in Georgia, who killed Ahmaud Arbery, the black jogger. Last week, a lawyer for one of the men said black pastors in the courtroom are intimidating the jury.
Obviously, there's only so many pastors they can have. And if their pastor's Al Sharpton right now, that's fine. But then that's it. We don't want any more black pastors coming in here. Or other Jesse Jackson, whoever was in here earlier this week, sitting with the victim's family, trying to influence a jury in this case.
Black pastors plan to march outside the Glynn County Courthouse on Thursday. We'll speak with Reverend Barber. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The UN Climate Summit wrapped up in Glasgow, Scotland, Saturday with a significantly weakened deal that activists, scientists, and many governments say falls far short of what's needed to avert a climate catastrophe. COP26 President Alok Sharma praised the deal as historic, but also apologized for last-minute changes that saw earlier drafts of the deal watered down to change the phasing out of coal to phasing down. Based on current government pledges, global temperatures are on track to rise a disastrous 2.4 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels this century. Delegates from poorer nations and those at highest risk from climate change expressed deep disappointment in the outcome of the summit. This is Tina Stege, the climate envoy of the Marshall Islands.
We accept this change with the greatest reluctance. We do so only, and I really want to stress, only because there are critical elements of this package that people in my country need as a lifeline for their future. Thank you.
The most affected nations also slammed the final agreement for failing to sufficiently address loss and damage reparations. This is the Bangladeshi climate scientist Salimul Haq.
It's a death sentence for the poorest people on the planet. And not only that, the polluters are saying, to hell with you. We don't care. We're not going to give you a penny.
We'll bring it up again. We're not giving up. But we are describing this COP as an abject failure.